Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. This is another new conversation live in our studio. Anthony Robinson took a cue from the Black Lives Matter movement and created his own statement of activism. It's a comedy show. He calls it Black Laughs Matter. Anthony was on stage last night in San Francisco, and tonight he will be at the Punchline in Sacramento for an 8 o'clock show. In between, wow, he's wide-eyed. He's here in the studio. Wide-eyed, maybe. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how
are
you?
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
With that introduction, if people don't know about the show, what do you think they expect?
A bunch of serious Black comedians making white people feel bad. That's probably what people might imagine. But the reality is that I just like the idea of just giving other Black and brown comedians stage time to do whatever they want to do. So,
Tell me the story about creating the show.
Basically, I just noticed that there weren't a lot of shows focused on getting a lot of Black comedians stage time, a lot of consistent stage time. And then also there was a sort of maybe novelty feeling that people would have if they would get booked on certain shows where maybe they're the only Black person on that lineup. So I just wanted to come up with a show that was, you know, the environment wasn't so much pressured on trying to be entertaining for, the white gaze, so to speak. It's just people being who they want to be on stage, and however that comes across, but as long as they're being themselves and they don't have to, you know, for lack of better words, tap dance or pretend like they have to do a job interview comedy instead of what they want to do. So,
was that your phone notifying you
that you
have an important fan message or a review coming up?
Yeah, it was probably just Facebook letting me know I should look at it. And that's probably what
it is. Well, I'll let you flip it on to silent.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
The Black Lives Matter movement started after the Trayvon Martin shooting, and a number of artistic pieces or expressions of the movement, the response, the reaction came out of that. How closely paralleled did that event lead to the creation of your show?
Well, I wouldn't say that it was very close to that. I will say that I personally was affected by that. I feel like a lot of people were. And I think part of the influence of that event on the show was, you know, there's a lot of anger in the air. I mean, I'm pretty angry. And, I feel like comedy that would specifically make people like that who are angry, who, you know, they see that those events, you know, it's good to take the edge off of this reality we live in. It's pretty rough. So I figured, you know, having a show like that where we deal with these events, and it's not just the Trayvon. I mean, you know, I've been alive for 33 years, and I mean, I've seen a lot of Black kids and Black people in general either be, you know, killed unjustly, things of that nature. So my process for all of that, me personally, was humor. You know, it's probably why I'm a really funny person. I have to deal with not only those type of existential realities, but my own personal thing. And to me, that made me understand a lot of what other Black people might be dealing with. So a comedy show specifically dealing with that allows people to come out, first of all, because it's hard to even get a lot of Black people to come out to comedy shows.
Hmm. Well, you know where you are in Sacramento, where we had the Stephon Clark case.
Ah, yes. We were just talking about that, me and Keith, yes.
Keith Lowell Jensen is with you.
No way.
We should have him say hello afterwards. But yeah, being able to know that that is the sensitivity or sensibility of an audience. And as you tour the country, you could be in a number of different cities where there is another version of that story.
Exactly. Exactly. And another thing, too, is, you know, with the name of the show and what it's playing off of, I know that the expectations are, you know, comedians are going to go on stage and be like, this is wrong and we have to do this. And maybe there will be some of that, but really the goal is to take the edge off for, you know, everyone coming to the show, especially like the black and brown people that are showing up, because I feel like they're definitely going to need the humor to kind of help process what they have to look at every day in the news, you know, so.
Do you know, we've been having a very serious conversation. I mean, we haven't, this is our first laugh right here in the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you create the right humor in light of what we're talking about? What's the sort of line you do or don't go over? Where do you pull the laughs?
That's a good question. I can only speak personally. I know what I can and can't get away with for the most part.
Can you say more about that? Can you give me an example?
So, for instance, I know that my comedy, for instance, can make, you know, white people in the audience feel a little uncomfortable because I'm being pretty sarcastic and I'm taking a serious subject that they may feel bad about themselves or they don't want to feel bad about. There's a lot of emotional things happening. So for me, when the punchline comes, when I deliver the punchline, is taking away all of the tension of that buildup of making them uncomfortable. So,
and you've been able to do that. And it works.
That's my wheelhouse. That's my I'm giving up the ghost of my game now. That's my wheelhouse. You know, to build that tension and then relieve it because people need it.
But now I want to see the show to see if you actually prove it, if you actually really do that.
I'm glad you're challenging me on that.
Have you gone too far sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's hard not to, because in order to find where you need to go, you do end up breaking a couple eggs sometimes, and so...
You know, I want to say that I would ask that same question to any comedian representing any group. I'm not just saying that because you're doing a show called Black Laughs Matter, and we're talking about that. I would ask any comedian about their trade in that respect. So I'm going to frame the question differently.
Okay.
What do you want to either be sensitive about or not be sensitive about?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think comedy does have a few objective rules. I think it's always going to be harder to laugh at making fun of people who are making fun of people for things they can't control, be it their social, economic, ethnic, whatever. Those things are just not going to always get as much laughs as, you know, making fun of your bullies, you know, people in power, things like that. It's just always going to get more laughs, you know. Not to say that people won't laugh at awful things, but, you know.
So you had a show last night in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
How'd that go? And will you change it at all because you're in Sacramento, and for what reason?
So the one in San Francisco went well. It went pretty well. And there was a variety of stage performances, so it wasn't... It speaks to the example I set forth earlier. So you had a deadpan comedian. You had, you know, just a comfortable, casual comedian. You had the, I'm going to, cross some boundaries, but not really type of comedian. Then, you know, I just closed out with what I do. And so you had a variety. And, yeah, there was, you know, if you're an audience member in that show last night, you could be like, oh, you know, that guy was, he was pushing it a little, but it wasn't bad. Or you could be like, oh, I didn't realize that there were more deadpan black comedians. You know, there's probably a stereotype that we all just, energy, you know, not everybody in the community is like that, you know? What was the other side of that question in Sacramento?
Well, because you said that, I'm going to add that the show features Dejon Tyler. Chaz Hawkins, Chris Riggins, and Amber Whitford.
Yes.
And comedy has been a part of your life for a long time.
Yes. I was all, you know.
But you weren't going to be a comedian initially.
So it was never part of my life plan. I wasn't a child that was like, oh, I want to be a comedian. I was just told that I was funny a lot because I was a class clown.
Oh, you were one of those.
Yeah, I was one of those. I interrupted the teacher a lot in starting in fifth grade. And I got legit laughs, and even from the teacher at times. And so it just kind of kept going that way. Now, I was also pretty obnoxious because, you know, a kid doesn't know the limits, right? But at the same time, that became the best way I made friends. That kind of where I started developing confidence was being funny.
Do you think of yourself as a role model to any other youngsters?
No, because then if I'm a role model, it's harder to relate to them. Hmm. You know, I don't want to come from that position. I know what it's like to be a kid that has nowhere to go or, you know, having a hard time in life. So rather than a role model, I just like to talk to him regular.
Well, the show is at the Punchline in Sacramento at 8 o'clock tonight. It's the Black Laughs Matter comedy tour. And before I let you go, give me a thought about the times we're in right now and why it's so important, Anthony, to laugh, to just lift it up sometimes.
Well, you don't want to go crazy, right? Insanity is connected to not being, having a sense of humor, you know? That's constantly being pointed out, especially by people like Charlie Chaplin. And so the current environment, you got who you got in the White House, you got all this stuff happening in society. I think that one of the best ways besides advocacy and, you know, looking out for your community is to kind of laugh at people and use mockery and ridicule for bad ideas and silly people. So, yeah, that's what I would say to speak to the moment. You know, if you're going to deal with goofy, ignorant people, I would say instead of reacting with fact-based nerdism, which, you know, that could work in its own.
That's one option.
Yeah, that's one option. But those people don't care because they know they're being jerks. Hmm. So rather than do that, humor, because those people are authoritative anyway, and the best way to beat those kind of people is just mocking what they stand for. So
I'm glad you stopped by. Aww. I'm glad we had a few laughs.
Thank you.
I appreciate you starting your day early and being with us in studio.
Hey, thank you very much. They always say I have a radio voice, so I'm glad I get to flex.
You totally do. You totally do. That's Anthony Robinson. You can see him on stage at the Punchline with the full show of comedians tonight at 8 o'clock. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Hey, happy
Come
holidays.
Come back again sometime.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.